Blog Talk Radio.
Maybe you're tired of the waves that come and knock you off your feet. I'd long to see you on a day when you won't drown. The constant dragging and deceit, your hands been tied in there to greet a life that's bounded to a world that keeps on taking its day. Be you tired of the strains, the lonely highs, the constant rains that seep right through you on the days you're coming down. Maybe relying on horizons where the skies they fill with diamonds, ain't surprising that the love that you have lost is in your mind.
Where we go, we'll take the highs and lows with us.
Maybe you're tired of the waves that come and knock you off your feet. I'd like to see you on a day when you won't drown. Maybe the answer lies beneath these scattered words they put our streets, and now the lights without the power flicker on into the night.
Where we go, we'll take the highs and lows with us. Take the highs and lows with us, one we think forever free from
the highs and lows.
don't mind me jamming out in the background. Hello, everyone. Welcome to A Team of Voices. I'm Crystal Hope, and tonight we're going to be doing some poetry on car rides, because when I think of summer, I often think of just those long car rides we either had as a kid or even just as adults now. It's a little more frustrating being adults than it is being children, but I always think of like those long car rides you have. So that's what the poetry is going to be on tonight. We're going to hear probably some very interesting stories. I know I have one, or I actually had a few that I can think of, but one of them I already had on here. So, let me go ahead. I know I already have three people on here. I'm probably not going to do a long show. It's probably going to be just an hour. Let me go ahead and let in, I believe, Wayne.
Yes, it would be me. Right? It would be me.
I don't know. I don't know phone numbers anymore. I've been on here in a while. I think this is Dave.
Yeah, that's me. Hi, Wayne.
Okay. Hey, Dave. And then I also have Stephen on here, too.
Hello.
I knew that phone
three
number.
For
hey, Stephen.
Hello.
It's all men, okay. Like what I deal with working every single day, a bunch of people that normally that come, I work at a restaurant as a waitress, so most of the people that come in for lunch are construction workers, and a good majority of the time they are men. So they come in and their boots are all just muddy, so the whole floor gets disgusting. So I think I'm used to this. Is everybody doing okay tonight?
I'm on vacation.
Dang. So you already know what the car crazy car ride is then if you're on vacation, unless you flew there, which I doubt that.
I know of crazy car rides. I do. And I actually have a story of one.
Well, I know yours is a read and run, and I guess I'll go ahead and get started on them. Like I said before, I'm pretty sure it's probably going to be just like an hour show or whatever. I think I have about six poems. So let me go ahead and put yours on there, Stephen, and we'll go ahead and get started.
Let me, I just wanted to say that this is actually not about a car trip, but it was written during a show about vacations. Hatter and I were messaging each other back and forth in the background, and we were writing this collab. My story is when I was a kid.
Wait, I remember this story. It was for for the Sweet Show or something, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Yes, it was. Yeah, so I just thought I'd dust it off and bring it. But I just wanted to say that my story was when I was very young, and my dad had just bought a brand new Ford Crown Victoria, and it was our first time going down to Florida to visit my great grandparents. And he was always, "Be careful, you know, don't make a mess in my car." Well, I ended up accidentally sitting on an ink pen that I didn't realize it. And when I got out of the car, there was a big ink spot on the back seat. And I spent the rest of the trip making sure I was sitting on that spot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
but yeah,
I think
this was
pretty ticked.
Oh, yeah, he was when he found out. He was very, very upset. And it was there for the rest of the time we had the car. I could never get it out. But, Sweet Pea had written Vacation from Hell, where there was a pair of old ladies' underwear in the bathroom, and because of that, nobody wanted to use the bathroom, and this is what Hatter and I came up with from that, and this is called The Old Bitches Britches, a collab with Jay Hatter. The story rarely told from those days of old, the tale of a dead woman's panties, found lost and alone near the big white phone, wandering in to take a man-pee. But what's to be done as there they lay in the middle of the bathroom floor? My back teeth float, as do my fears. My back stays to the door. lost and found with no one around. There are things you just can't unsee. Airborne it took, and with one final look, it was last seen on the Interstate 50. But still to this day, when nature calls, my eyes scan the area, then roll. Panties will get you if you aren't careful. So big, they'll swallow you whole. End poem.
Oh, yeah. I do remember this, because I remember that show so distinctly when Sweet wrote that poem and stuff like that. I don't remember exactly when exactly. I guess it was September of 2019. I guess it was then. But I remember that show very, like, very well, which is weird. I have my own experience now from last summer. It's a whole story in itself. I'm not going to tell the whole long story, but I was traveling last summer, and the first part of the trip, I was driving through Mississippi, and I asked my boyfriend to tag along. I said, what if we did, like, a small road trip? Because I was going to be gone for a couple of months. And I was like, what if we did a small road trip, and then the rest of the way I take, like, bus? Because I found out bus was cheaper than car, which is weird. But we ended up going to several different, motels, couldn't find one. Either the places were terrible or the places were booked. So we finally ended up with one. And we slept in this hotel and everything, like his side of the bed, my side of the bed. And then as soon as we're about to leave, I'm, like, in the bathroom doing my hair or something. And I'm like, can you double check, make sure we got everything? And he's, like, looking around the bed. And, like, right under the bed, he sees some kind of, like, boxers or something. And they look like they've been there a long time. But he asked me, he was like, you don't wear boxers. I was like, no, why would I have boxers? And he doesn't even want to pick them up. I think he kicks them across the floor. And then he's like, I don't know if we should tell them about this. And I was like, I don't know if we – I didn't even think about Sweet's story then, though. But I just remember, like, those things looked gross. I don't know how long they had been there under the bed, but they looked gross, and I'd hate to know. So so I guess thinking of Sweet's story came to that. But, yeah, I like that you brought this one again. It brought back the memories to that poem. And I remember when, because you and Hatter, I remember y'all were just rolling on the floor laughing at that story. And I remember y'all talking about collapsing, and I remember y'all writing that. So I liked seeing it again and hearing the story of how you ruined your dad's car. But, yeah. Wayne, what did you think of the poem?
Well, that's where my trunk said, my box was at. I knew it was from somewhere. This is a funny point right now. There's a big panties. And how did she die? Well, wait, I don't want to know about that. That's too much. This is a funny poem, and you and Hatman did a good job on it, and I enjoyed it a whole lot there, Stephen. Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne.
Great comment, Wayne. And, Wayne, I really hope that those were not your boxers. I hope. Okay. Dave, what did you think of the poem?
Oh, I thought it was great. You know, it's funny when people find stuff like this. These undies could have been absolutely spotless and, you know, and sterile. And somebody would look at them and not even want to touch them just because of what they are, you know. And I don't know, I thought the storyline was great too. I like the center couplet here. It says, my back teeth float as do my fears. My back stays to the door. This is a good poem. I enjoyed it a lot. Let it go.
Thank you.
Stephen, it was good.
Thank you, Dave. And I know you said you had to read and run. If you want to plug a show real quick, Stephen, you can for Blood Athletics Life.
Let's see. Our next show is tomorrow night. It's Storyboards with Sky Darkholm. And we're continuing our Christmas in July extravaganza. And she is doing the Galaxy, the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. You can write the characters, quotes, scenes, Come and geek out with Sky at 8 p.m. tomorrow evening. You guys have a good night.
Take care, my man.
Good night, Stephen. Thank you. Alrighty. All right. Dave, I got your poem next on the board whenever you're ready to read.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's see here. Let me get rid of this. Oh, my computer keeps poking along here. Hold on a minute. For some reason, my browser's been hanging up on me and doesn't seem to take anything to do it, but it's coming back, so I'll be up here in just a second.
I was going to say, I know I had problems with All Poetry earlier where it wasn't letting me post links, and I had a hard time. Yeah, so I was surprised I was able to do the show because, like, every time I'm still having some issues. It keeps telling me because all the links are similar that they're too, I don't know, they're saying they're too similar, so I can't post it. And I'm like, huh? I've had that before where it tells you a comment is too similar, but it's doing it with links now and getting really annoying because I was trying to edit podcasts and wouldn't let me.
I don't like it. Yeah, I know. I don't like any of those links that tell me what I'm doing. You know, I don't like that. I don't like being told that my comments are similar. I don't like being told that whatever I'm putting in there is similar. That's too bad, you know. I'm paying to be on this site. So, anyway, when I first read the what your theme was for your show tonight, Chrissy, this story here just popped into my head, and I thought, well, this is perfect. I hope this is what she's looking for. And the banner picture is a 53 Packard Patrician. My dad had one just like that, same color and everything, only it was a Clipper. It wasn't a Patrician. And you talk about a gunboat. Holy cow. So anyway, I'll get on with it. It's called Prophet's Family Sojourn to Disneyland. Yearly adventure to Southern California. Dad's 1953 Packard Clipper, long as an aircraft carrier, drove us there and back more than once. It was two-tone blue, dark on the top, robin egg blue on the bottom. Cloth seats, ornate in their execution, charcoal grays and dark blue trim, lots of room in the back seat for the kid and I. My sister's nicknamed the kid. Had Dad's side of his humor, so did I. Momsy, not so much. She had other ideas about what was funny. The back seat smelled like old leather and ancient stuffing. Didn't bother the kid, didn't bother me. Looking out over the hood, light years long, with a chrome swan bowing at the end of the hood's runway, the car ran and moved with a certain amount of automotive grace. Rolling down the freeway 70 miles an hour without even trying would not have survived gasoline prices of today. Gasoline at 29 cents a gallon during the price wars of the 50s. Even at 29 cents a gallon, oil companies still got rich. No Mickey Mouse electric cars in those days of old, setting themselves on fire all by themselves in parking lots. $8 to fill up the tank. Off we went to Southern California, to Disneyland and Uncle Chuck's. Death Valley was scenic, but no fun. Hot, dry air, mineral-like fragrance, much too hot in the summer. Cooler with the windows up. Dad would put a wet rag on his head, then his ever-present fishing hat. He looked sort of like some Arabian knight, not quite as revered, however. Eventually, we got through Death Valley, none too soon. Arriving at Uncle Chuck's place, my cousin Michael and Aunt Bernice, fun relatives, hot rods everywhere along with orange groves and palm trees. No palm trees in Oregon. The kid and I always marveled over them. Orange stands right alongside the road, best oranges you ever ate, but not anymore. Disneyland was fun, our berry picking money all undone. Dark Mother's perfume, cotton candy, and gunpowder. David, my man, would you take me to Disneyland, my love? Am I tall enough for all the rides there? End poem.
Wow. I didn't expect the end. I thought that whole perfume, cotton candy, and gunpowder had died a long time ago, but I guess not.
No.
But I liked seeing it again. And I like that, am I tall enough for the rides there? I mean, I feel like if I win, I wouldn't be. But yeah, I love the story of this and everything. And one thing, not that many people always know about me and they don't really guess, I love, like, especially like old cars from like the 1900s, like early 1900s or 1920s. Like, I love looking at those. There's a place over in Texas I've gone to where they have like Model A, Model T cars, different things. I've only been there a couple of times and I want to go back because I love looking at the old cars. So I liked seeing a 1953 Packard Slipper. Like, I liked seeing talk about the cars. The one part that I just can't get over, though, the 29 cents a gallon. You can't even buy anything for 29 cents anymore. So
I know it.
Imagine that.
I know
it.
They really used to have those gas wars, and I remember them. You know, you could go in and you couldn't buy premium for 29 cents a gallon. It was mostly regular, at least in Oregon. But you'd have a strip of service stations up and down McLaughlin Boulevard, for example, and one guy would lower his price down, you know, to 32 cents a gallon, 32.9, and then the next guy down the road would be at 31.9, and then somebody would try and outdo both of them at 29.9. Yeah, you know, and it didn't matter what you drove. You could drive a bulldozer in those days all around, and it wouldn't have broke you up in fuel costs like it does nowadays, you know. You know,
yeah.
And so, and these,
like
these electric.
Be.
Oh,
go
sorry. I was just going to say, you know, I've been a mechanic for most of my life, and I've worked on diesels and gasoline engines and motorcycles and trucks and anything that's got engines in it. I haven't worked on these electric cars, and I'm going to say right now that they don't have the infrastructure installed in the country right now to effectively deal with that. They're going to have to do some more work on these batteries. They're ultra expensive. They have a tendency to just set the car on fire sometimes, you know. That's why I put that in there in the storyline there. But, you know, they're not everything they're kicked up to be. And if you buy a used car, then a used electric car, then you don't get any government rebates back on it. And chances are you're going to have to replace a battery pack in it, which is probably going to run you $6,000-$7,000. And, you know, I can't afford that on a Social Security income. I can't afford to, you know, to just go out and buy an electric car, even if it's used, you know. So, anyway, that's my rant.
I get it. I almost bought a hybrid car, but I didn't know that much about it, and I was like, I don't know that much about electric. I said, I know it's only half electric. I was like, but I didn't know that much information, so I was like, I don't think I'm going to go that route. So I kind of get the understanding. I cannot get an electric car here. Like, I don't know how people – when I think of electric vehicles, I think of people that live in, like, really big cities. But if somebody lives out in the country or in a small town somewhere – you don't have anywhere to charge it. So, like, if you're just out in the middle of nowhere and you just run out of battery, you're just there. There's not going to be, like, you can't go to a gas station. So, yeah, I completely get that. But anyway, back to your poem, though, but I liked reading that part. The other part I really liked, too, was talking about his fishing hat making him look like an Arabian knight. That part definitely made me chuckle. Yeah, but all your descriptions that you had, you can, it feels like a like going kind of back in time and remembering the joy of kind of being in a car. That's one thing I hate about car rides nowadays with kids is that kids have so much technology. Like even when I was growing up, there wasn't that much technology. We had like beginning computers mostly. Like we had like Windows 95, Windows 98, like when I was a kid. But nowadays it's like kids have to have a phone, a tablet, something, and they don't get to enjoy car rides. Like the poem I brought is actually just of the, like talking about doing car rides with my dad and my sister. We used to just drive. We would play music in the car and we would just drive down the road and we'd drive for like an hour. That was the thing. And I know people used to do that. You should just drive random places or something,
yeah.
or just like take a drive somewhere,
right.
and it was pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like,
yeah.
you can't take your kids to go take a drive anymore because they're like, "Are we there yet? I'm bored. My tablet died," or something like that. You don't trust me. And that's what I feel like kids don't enjoy it anymore. So I feel like if this had not been set in if this had been set nowadays, like going to Disneyland and Death Valley and stuff, like those kids would be like in the back seat. I'm hot. I'm bored. Like something.
Are we there yet?
I don't
know.
You know, I think what I'm going to do, Deborah just PM'd me here, and she said, I got a kick out of the Dark Mother in Disney. Could you imagine? I was thinking about that earlier today. I think I'm going to write a secondary poem about taking the Dark Mother to Disneyland and seeing everybody's reaction to that.
I did think of that too. Yeah, you were reading, I actually had both Deb and AP come in, and we've just been talking, and I completely forgot to say hi to them. Which I'm sorry. Hi, Deb.
Hi,
AP.
How are you?
Are we there?
Hey,
we're good.
Yeah.
Hi, Deb. I'm here.
All right. Let me go ahead and shut up and let me get a comment from Wayne on Dave.
Yeah, okay, I'll give a comment. The cars, when me and Dave grew up, we didn't have power windows. We didn't have no air conditioning. Had to add on air conditioning back in the 50s. It was pretty rugged trip when you went anywhere. It was hot, but everybody enjoyed it a lot more, I think, because they talked more. But anyway, this is a great poem you got there, Dave. Great details about the auto. And all the cars back then weighed about five ton, I reckon. And it sounded like a great family trip. And I always went to Orlando to go to Disney World. I didn't ever went to Florida, but the gas was 72 was pretty bad too. We got down to 19 cents a gallon for 4 days, and they put it shot back up. And then in 77, all hell broke loose with the embargo. But this is a wonderful form. Good family trip. It's a good family trip, and I enjoyed it. Good job.
Oh, thank you, Wayne. Thank you.
Great comment, Wayne. Deb, did you want to say anything else besides about the Dark Mother?
Well, sure, yeah. I was reading it while I was on hold because I didn't get to hear the read. But I thought it was cool, and I liked it, the fact that it brought out a family trip. Dave, is this a true story?
Yeah, absolutely.
Aside from the Dark Mother, that is. But, yeah, the car is amazing. The trip to your uncle's sounded pretty fun. And like, 29 cents a gallon, I can't even imagine how awesome that would be. The company still got rich. I like where you took this, and I'm looking forward to find out what happens when she makes it to Disney, when the kids are following that cotton candy smell, thinking they're on their way to the booth to buy some, and it's actually the Dark Mother, and that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, when she turns around, that'll scare the hell out of them.
Right.
I could not write that poem. I just thought about it this morning while I was writing this one. I thought, I got to do that. That would be really fun. You know?
Well, I've said it before. You take that chick everywhere.
Yeah, I do. She's fun to be around.
great comment, Deb. Thank you, Dave, for bringing that. I really enjoyed the poem. Before put out the next poem, AP, do you need to read and run? Or I know because you usually post your own link.
Crystal, yeah.
Okay.
I probably do. I've got a link that I can put up if you like, because I wrote something this morning.
Go ahead.
Just one tick. I'm just up and about, so you can hear all the sounds of the cars and stuff in the background, but bear with me while I grab the link. And
sound of cars would be the theme. We just have it in the background.
Yeah. We can hear it in the background, you know, sort of. And interestingly enough, I was looking for a particular picture to put with the poem, and that's a tram for the uneducated about Australia. I couldn't find one, so I actually did one in the back of the taxi I was in, like after about 3 minutes. So it's a very brief sketch, but I did it. Anyway, here we go. This is towards the open road, and it goes a little bit like this. My father loved to drive, just about more than anything else. The idea of being out in an open road, travelling over the speed limit and cutting across the rounded double line bends was for him intoxicating. And these roads did not have to be large highways. His preference was to hit the secondary or older byways, and there he would fly along until getting momentarily delayed by an old truck sputtering along. His best option was to see it from a distance, take it to the wrong side and accelerate, ensuring no delay at all. If it did deter his arrow-like progress, there was much muttering of breath as he was reluctantly and momentarily trapped. He always chose the V8 model, and it was usually a Ford Falcon. He admired the Chrysler for its boot size, but preferred the acceleration from the GT. So as children, when holidays came, so did the road trips. Somewhere unplanned, to the distant scrappy last of the Goon Show, as he found the next piece of open road. Once we travelled to a town 500 miles away, to discover there was a big rally and no hotel rooms were available. He was so disappointed, he didn't only go back 80 miles to the next town, he drove straight home, arriving at 4 a.m. And when the diabetes eventually affected his sight and feeling in his leg, and he had gone through two shrubs in the brick mailbox, he reluctantly stopped. And he lived for 6 months more, but something about him died that day. It was a tractor, for God's sake, but something about him died that day. And I suspect he knew that the end of his journey was all too near. And
I definitely, like, as soon as you started reading about your father, I know people like that, that really, really, really enjoy driving. Like, I know I have, like, a friend of mine where we were driving through Atlanta, Georgia, and like me and my friend were like, we were like uncomfortable driving through all of the like craziness of traffic. And he was just like,
yes,
perusing on through, just like it was nothing to him.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right.
And so like, but it's weird how you meet people like that. And then you're talking about like him just like traveling somewhere 500 miles away. And it was just like, it's no big deal. And everything. So I feel like, and then we're talking about like the diabetes taking his sight and the feeling in his leg. I bet it was kind of hard for him because like that's what he really enjoyed. But I mean, at least he got to do it for as long a time as he can. I like how all these poems are kind of taking people back to like a certain time. And plus, you and Dave both wrote about your fathers. So I found that interesting too. But yeah, I really enjoyed this.
Thank you, Crystal.
Let me get a comment from Wayne.
Alrighty. It's a wonderful poem with a sad ending. I guess he's cruising along in heaven right now. I did not like the Google's location when I was driving and not being able to stay. I probably would have went home too. I love the storyline in this, and all the way to the end. The end is kind of sad, but good storyline and go back some memories for you. Good job, Barry P.
Nah, thanks, Wayne. Thank you.
Great comment, Wayne. And Dave, your comment?
Oh, yeah. This was this poem I could identify with very much because a lot of times my father would just, you know, we'd be sitting at the table and he'd say, oh, let's go for a drive. you know, at the dinner table in the evening. And so, you know, my sister and I were all up for that. And my mother would always object because of, you know, burning up gasoline. Even if it was $29.99 a gallon, she'd still object to it. She was a creature of the Depression, and it never left her. And my dad used to get upset with her. He'd say, "Well, Christ's sake, Mary, it's only 29 cents a gallon. We can afford that." You know, he did, you know. And but this was great. This really, the whole precept of this is very identifiable, you know, and I can relate to it very much. You know, I still take my dog and throw him in the car. I'm driving around Little Metro. It gets 45, 50 miles a gallon now. So I can throw him in the car. We can go around, drive around up here in the mountains a little bit. That's always kind of fun. And maybe I only burned up 2 or 3 gallons, you know, instead of a whole tankful. But anyway, that was a good poem. I really liked it, AP. Good job.
No, thanks, sir.
Thanks.
Great comment, Dave. And Deb, your comment?
Well, for starters, I think that your quickie sketch from the back of the taxi is pretty cool. You even managed to capture the motion of it zooming down the road as you sketched it there. I'm still touched by the nostalgia of it, and the ending still gets to you. You know, when you get down there, and whether it be car driving or whatever the case may be, once you lose the ability to do something that meant that much to you, it does change you. And 6 months, the ending is very sobering. But I like the details down to that. To the V8 in the Falcon, I think it's really cool that over there in Oz, rather than having whatever the you know Mercedes or whatever the imports are of the day there, that he seemed to have his go-to with the Ford Falcon. I think that's impressive. But fun read, cute photo.
No, thank you, Jeff. You know, it was always the Ford Falcon or the Holden and the GM. And so it was either the Ford or the GM. They were the two big brands here. The Valiant was pretty small, the Chrysler. So it was mostly the Ford. And they were the big, big V8s, the big old Ford Falcon 500. So big cars, but used a lot of fuel. We wonder what happened today.
Way cool. I think
Thank
that, Christy,
Evan.
You had mentioned Dave and AP both writing on about their fathers. I think back in the day, a kid would be more accustomed. It would be an oddity for mom to be the driver. It was dad on, you know, when you trips or whatnot.
That is
dad
true.
Would be behind the wheel. But I liked that they both pulled out some nostalgia for their rights.
Yeah, look, the only difference with us is that if we did go to Sydney, which was, you know, 800 miles away, that my parents would take it in turns. So they'd do like 150 miles each and then swap over because it was, you know, a full day drive up there and it was single lane those days. So it was, you know, a fair bit of work. But yeah, most of the time it was my dad.
Yeah, mine too. My mom did on a longer trip, like you said, trade off with them and take burden, but for the most part it was him playing the oldies channel on the radio.
Yeah, you better.
Singing at the top of his lungs.
Yeah, he had a good voice, actually. So thank you, Crystal. I'm going to disappear stage left and keep getting into my work day here, so thank you. It's a great subject, actually. I really enjoyed it. So thanks, and we will talk soon.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thanks again. Okay, cheers.
All righty. So the next poem I have on the board is yours, Wayne, whenever you're ready to read.
All right, I'll read it. When I first heard about the car ride, walking in the mountains, was a poem I wrote 6 years ago, I reckon. It's about a tragic trip, and I wouldn't blow anybody out with it, but it had a big impact on my life, I think, when I wrote it. It's called Tragic Trip. It was like this. He was holding on to the root very tight, hanging over a cliff in broad daylight. Wouldn't be as bad if the tire hadn't blown. Lucky, because out of the car he was thrown. His only true love didn't have the same luck. She was inside when the boulder was struck, holding back tears, trying to do the best he can on the way to the beach to play in the sand. They were riding on down beach front drive, singing songs on the radio, feeling free and alive. Out of nowhere, I ran out a sweet little child. From that point on, things got a bit wild. Swerved to the right to miss the kid. Didn't hit the child, but the car behind him did. When the car hit the curb, the tire exploded. Lost control, left gas, barely slowed. Saw a car roll over the father as it began to flip. This wasn't going to be a very good trip. The car hit a steel rail and gave it some lift. It was thrown out of the car as it went over the cliff. He became so heartbroken he decided to let go. It wasn't his fault, afraid friends would know. He passed away when he landed on his head. Tragedy got forward to people. Ended up dead. Ian?
Wow. Holy cow.
Yeah.
It said,
I was just thinking of, like, little lovely car rides. I did not expect to take a turn like that. But this is definitely something I think people need to read. Because, like, you never know, like, when things can happen out of the blue, like, trying not to hit a child or something like that, or like, not paying attention or something like that. Like, it can happen where just out of nowhere. You got pretty much, like, you got the detail just, like, right on the nose of how, like, how descriptive everything can be, like, talking about, like hitting a rock or flipping over or something or losing control. Like, you have the visuals just, like, right there of a really, like, really bad wreck. So I didn't expect to read something so sad from you, but at the same time, though, again, it is something that needs to be said, or at least written about. Because, like I said, it's a common occurrence. Like, I think just yesterday, over by my job, two cars got into a really bad wreck. And I'm glad that I was at my job and I was not on the road, but I hate seeing those things all the time. I run into wrecks, like, all the time, and it's really sad. But I like that you wrote this, though, and the, like I said, what it's telling us.
I can change in a minute.
Exactly. Dave, what's your comment?
This was, yeah, I agree with what you said about it, Crystal. This was really sad. It was just, It is something that needs to be said. You know, the last thing people are doing nowadays is keeping their mind on their driving. They're monkeying around with the radio. They're monkeying around with their cell phones. They're yelling at the kids. They're doing everything but what they should be doing, and that's driving the car. And I can tell you right now, the reason that some of these new cars have all-wheel drive on them and traction control is because they're directionally unstable to start out with. It doesn't take anything to get those things to go upside down on their top or out of control, swap lanes, crash into someone else, and that's what you see a lot of. And so it's really important to pay attention to what's going on when you're driving, and this poem shows that a lot, although I can't really see much fault in any of it. It's just a bad set of circumstances. It sets itself up every now and then. And that's another reason why we have to be really vigilant while we're driving, because you never know when those circumstances pop up, you know. And I thought Wayne did a really good job writing this out, and the descriptions are excellent. The storyline is spot on and it's timely. So nice job here, Wayne. Good job.
Appreciate it. Appreciate that.
Great comment, Dave. And Deb, your comment?
You know, I remember when Wayne shared this one the first time, and I was, like, devastated by the thoughts and the visuals of what went on. And it, he when he read it that time, got a bit emotional himself from it. So I thought even more that it was a true story. So to pull us in and have us enthralled with this sadness and emotion, and it just be fiction, was already showing the power in his pen. You know, this is one that I had to put on my wow list, because other than the title, you know, I wasn't expecting that outcome. You figure and it's the truth. You could be going along and everything's just fine, and then the next thing you know, perfectly said in the title, tragic trip. In a blink of an eye, there's tragedy and things change. And this is the kind of thing that it stuck with me just as a piece of fiction. But imagine, because, you know, you got to figure this is somebody's story in reality and how that would haunt you. Pretty powerful work, Wayne.
Thank you. This is my first tragedy that I ever wrote. I was at the tragedy in 2 years, so to write another one, because I just didn't have the guts to write another one. It's too touching. My first tragedy.
Yeah, no, like I said, I remember when you read it and I could hear the emotion in your voice. I really, really thought it was true until, you know, you set us all straight, but wow.
Thank you for the comments. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Wayne, for bringing that. I could kind of tell that it wasn't real, because I feel like it was just a perspective kind of story, because I know I've written a lot of those and I get messages or comments, people being like, oh, I'm so sorry about that or something. And I'm like, it didn't happen to me. I'm like, it's just from like what you think about.
I get a lot of those too. People say it's very good when I wrote it. That's just what you write.
No, I remember a few years ago, I used to write these like story poems, and like I said, they would just be like a fictional story. And I remember like writing one about a little girl losing her father, and they're like, I'm so sorry for your loss. And I was like, I didn't lose my father. My father's still alive. Same thing with my mother too. Like somebody losing their mother, and they're like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, I have my mother still. I get these comments or things like I said, people could read the tragic trip from Wayne and think like, oh, you got in a horrible car accident. I'm so sorry. Like, you never know.
Yeah, that poem, yeah. I write people comment like that. They'll say, I'm sorry to hear about that. Well, just a poem.
Yeah. Alrighty. So what I've got next is I've got Deb's next. And then I have one that needs a reader, which is Jenny's. And then I have mine, and then we'll be done. I figured I'd probably be about an hour, might be a few minutes after an hour, but I figured it was somewhere in there. So, Deb, whenever you're ready, go ahead and read.
Okay, dokie. My poem's called Blank Pages to Fill Up and Down Every Hill. And here we go. In the car, riding to the rise of the goldenrod sun, and trail the lemon glow nosediving on the run. Drive to the opal moon that hazel eyes see as the stars chart the road trip for you and for me. Fingers thread and travel while lined highways, singing songs on the dashboard jukebox plays, hitting drive-ins and dives to munch greasy meals, traveling through cities and towns on rubber wheels. With the sidewalks and asphalts back out of reach, chaperoned by seagulls, we stroll the amber beach. Barefoot lovers splash the churning, salted ocean, breathing air perfumed with coconut suntan lotion. Swim naked in salt water, build a bonfire on the shore. Pretzel bodies need starlight with no walls, no doors, and no inked appointment page. Two people need no more. End poem.
That's cool.
Yeah, you definitely summed up a road trip. Just everything right there, from just like listening to music to eating in just like a drive-in or something like that, and then like getting to like your destination, which of course is the beach. No one Devon's the beach. I do like that chaperoned by seagulls, we stroll the amber beach. I like how that sounded. But yeah, you just kind of got that whole like feel of the trip, like going to the beach, the lotion, the salty ocean, building a bonfire or something like that. Like you definitely have just like the whole thing right here. Now I'm just wondering in the picture at car, trying to think of what car it is and what year it is, because that's the first thing that caught my eye.
It's a Chevy whatever, Tracker.
Like looking. That's why. Okay, I was right. I knew it was a Chevy.
I think it was a 2002.
Oh, I was right on that too. Wow, I'm on the nose. It looked like
it was
it,
mine
because it looked like cars I grew up with. So that's why I was like, I know what it is. I think. But yeah,
it was actually.
But
it was actually the last car I had before the one I'm in now, which is also a Chevy, but it's an Impala. But yeah, I love that little Tracker.
Well, great poem, Deb. And let me get a comment from Wayne.
Thank you, Crystal.
Yes, this sounds like a great road trip, even the naked in the ocean part. This is how I like to travel. Great color and great description of this poem. I want to sit by the bonfire right about now. It'd be nice to sit by the bonfire. Great job with poem and the trip, singing songs on the dashboard jukebox through the plays. It's a great job with poem. Great job with reading it. And I enjoyed it a whole lot there, Deb.
Thank you very much, Wayne. Yeah, you can't go on a road trip without the radio. My father had the radio on all the time, no matter where we went, short run or a road trip. There was always the oldie station with the geeter with the heater, if anybody knows who that is, Jerry Blavitt.
Good trip.
Kind of the way I am, the radio is always on.
Yeah, when I buy a used car, I usually have two things I say to them. I need a radio, and I need climate control. Beyond that, just show me what you got. But, got to have a radio. Got to.
I had one for mine because, like, after, like, buying cars and stuff, especially, like, newer cars, I don't like them as much, and everybody thinks I'm strange for one part. I don't like newer cars because they don't have CD players. And I am like a young person and an old lady, or like a old lady in a young person's body, where I have 1,000 CDs. So like I like taking my CDs when I go somewhere. So, and like everybody, when I told people about buying a car, and they were just like, "Why do you want a CD player?" And I was like, "Because I have CDs." So like I listen to my CDs and I don't care. It's something that I enjoy, which I get it. Most people are like, "Oh, you can plug it up to your phone now." I'm like, "Okay, that sounds great too, but I still want my CD."
I hear you, Crystal. And hey, we've been saying it for years. Crystal Hope is an old soul in a young body. You just proved it, dear heart.
Dave, you want to go ahead and comment on Deb's poem?
Yeah, I'd love to. Well, I was particularly impressed by your second couplet in here, Deb. It says, "Drive to the opal moon, that hazel green eyes see." I thought I was the only one that used green eyes in my poetry. That's nice to see. I remember back in when Gunsmoke was on, everybody in Gunsmoke had blue eyes. Didn't matter who it was. Everybody had blue eyes. And it kind of irritated me a little bit because, you know, their green eyes are supposed to be the most rare. And so I don't know. But anyway, this was a really neat poem. I like the reference to, the hitting the drive-ins and dives to munch greasy meals. When we were riding around in the car, we had a guy out here on the West Coast named Wolfman Jack, and every now and then you'd get some skip and you could hear him, you know, and he'd be broadcasting and stuff. And then we had a radio station out here in the 50s called KISN Radio. They call it Kissin' Radio. And they used to play stuff, and you could call in, and and, you know, and get a dedication to your girlfriend, you know, hey, would you play Earth Angel for my girlfriend, you know? And yeah, maybe 2 hours later, by the time you got home from night, might come on. But yeah, this is cool. This is really a neat poem. I liked it. Brought me back, you know, again. And I like the nostalgia hit of this theme tonight. It's really cool. And those are the things that stay in people's memories more than anything, you know. And I agree with you, Chrissy. I like CD players in cars. If you get a good one, they work just fine, you know, unless you're out rock climbing or four-wheeling with a car, you know. But most people don't do that. But anyway, it was a neat poem, Deb. I really enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you, David. And I'm familiar with Wolfman Jack, too. I think he moved around, like California and New Mexico,
yeah,
and North Carolina, but he had traveled from different state to state and did radio stuff at each one. And he had that, like, howl thing that he did. And he was really big in Shreveport, Louisiana. And he like, used his love for horror movies and did this. He became Big Smith for the station down there. So, like,
yeah,
he changed his persona a couple times, but for the most part, he wound up sticking with that Wolfman Jack persona until he died of a heart attack in 1995. So, yeah, her topic has brought out all kinds of nostalgia tonight.
Yeah, it was really neat. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed your poem too, Deborah.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, Deb, for bringing that and everything. Like I said, I have, and then I have mine. I went ahead and put Jenny's out on the board. I'll go ahead and read for her. If my page wants to load, there it goes. This is called Traffic Anxiety in the City Heading to the Ocean by Jenny the Deep. Stop and go, gas, brake, stuck on repeat day after day and nowhere to go. Staring into the abyss off the bridge, feeling the void of emptiness drifting off. Sun warms my face. Deep, jumping from the honking makes her inspired. She drums to the dash of the beat. Now she's wired. We are all going in the same direction, dazed and confused why we are frozen. They continue to move as we sit, cars to the left, cars to the right, fast locomotion, anxiously waiting, hoping not to go on empty, testing our patience with this lack of motion. Anxiously anticipating to go to the going to the ocean and poem. And when she said cars to the left, cars to the right, fast locomotion, all I was thinking of was the song. But yeah, I like how she wrote this. So this is the truth, especially like I said, when you are going on a road trip, you have to deal with traffic, especially to the beach, I would think is one of the worst ones, because you're getting all of those people that usually take their families or something, and it's just like loads and loads of traffic, and everybody is like waiting to get to their destination, and then all they're doing is just like barely moving through traffic. You put a little bit of gas, brake, a little gas, brake. She summed it like to the T. When it comes to this. So thank you, Jenny, for bringing this, and it definitely brings the car trip vibe to it all. Let me get a comment from Dave.
Oh, thanks. There's a lot of truth in this poem. I live so far away from everybody that, you know, the towns and stuff up here where I live, that It's a 26 mile round trip for me to go into Sandy. And if I want to go on the drive, all I got to do is just drive into town and get what I need, you know. And I throw the dog in the back. He likes to ride around with me. He goes everywhere. And but there's the first stanza here says stop and go, stop and go. Gas brake, gas brakes. Stuck on repeat day after day with nowhere to go. Fortunately, I don't have to do that anymore because I'm retired. But it is. There's a lot of traffic out there nowadays, and the high gas prices doesn't seem to put a dent in that one iota. Staring off into the abyss off the bridge, feeling the void of emptiness, drifting off as the sun warms my face, beep, jumping from honking makes her inspired. She drums the dash to the beat. Now she's fired. Little pick-me-up there in the middle of that. Juxtaposed from the first stanza. We are all going the same direction, dazed and confused. Why are we frozen? They continue to move as we sit furrowing. Cars to the left, cars to the right, fast. Locomotion anxiously waiting, hoping not to go on empty. Oh, boy, I've been there. You know, you sit there in your car, and you didn't think those things were going to take as long as they did, and the gas pedal's clear over, hard-pegged over to the left, and you think, man, I hope I get home, you know. That happened to me a couple of times. And I was way up in the mountains when it happened, and there was a wreck out on Highway 26, and so everybody decided to come down Marmot Road, which runs up into the mountains, and it was in the middle of the night, about 1 o'clock in the morning, and it was about 25 degrees outside, and I did not have any desire to walk home and get a gas can and do all that. So this is interesting. Nice poem here, Jen. You did good.
Great comment, Dave. And Wayne, what did
you think?
Well, I said I bet she enjoyed the ocean a lot better than the trip. Driving can get on your nerves, especially if you got relatives in the car with you. I've been in traffic a lot, and I know how the traffic is. I drove over 1.3 million miles when I was servicing accounts. And I've been in about every situation they can be in. And when you got people in the car with you, it's a lot worse than it is when you're by yourself. And when somebody plays the dashboard drums, I get crazy and tell them that I want to throw them out of the car. It drives me crazy when I'm trying to drive. It's like beating on the dashboard. Great point you had here. I enjoyed it a lot. I had four street vehicles I drove that put over 300,000 miles on all four of them. So I've been around a little bit in the car. So I've been there and know how it feels. Good job.
Great comment, Wayne. And Deb, your comment.
I can picture Wayne saying, you want me to stop this car and put you out?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, right? But, like, I think that with the sights and sounds and stuff, she I agree, she perfectly described that trip where you're stuck in that stop-and-go nightmare that's, of course, once you get there, it feels like it was well worth it. But I was writing in my comment to her that it always seemed that the ride home was even worse. And a tip for people would be to tell them to never, ever, ever drive home from the seashore on a Sunday in New Jersey, because, like, you don't know bumper to bumper until you try to drive home on one of the shore routes, just saying. So I think she captured it really well.
Great comment, Deb. And thank you again, Jenny, for bringing that right and everything. Like I said, I have my poem left, and I'm going to go ahead and do, I guess, like it's a couple of announcements, or at least two, like Jenny and Dave and Stephen and Deb and Wayne, and thank you to AP for either calling or bringing a poem. And I guess that's really it. I mean, I know Sweet has a show, I think, tomorrow. And I know Linda has a show, I think, on Friday. Let's see. Oh, sweet show for tomorrow at 10 p.m. Eastern on storms. This was one I was trying to do earlier that wouldn't let me post the link on. But yeah, go ahead and check out hers. And then for liquid damage, as she does, I think, like twice a month, also at 10 p.m. Eastern, she's doing open poetry. So I think I got a link on that one. I was really frustrated with that earlier. But, yeah, those are the shows for the next few nights. And let me go ahead and read mine that I picked. Like I said, I had a couple of them with, that were like road trip kind of things. But this memory often stands out in my mind. And it was actually to a show that Stephen and Kay did for the band Cheap Trick. So it was a song my dad used to, or a band my dad used to play a lot. And he used to play this song a lot when we'd go on like just a car ride. So this is called Surrender, as green van wheels roll on Pennsylvania road. Emerald green van cruising through the golden rod sunlight of summer, turning to crimson colors of fall. My little toes wiggled against the back of the passenger seat with stormy eyes gazing at the apple trees so tall. Faded windows tinted with the Pennsylvania air, breathing my poppy pigtails as I bounced along with my sister and father singing away. My sister's blonde hair swayed as her nasally voice giggled, and my father's cigarette smoke whistled above the cup holder and cigarette tray. Mommy's all right, Daddy's all right, my lips warbled the tune of surrender. As my spine rocked back and forth in my car seat, the guitar chanted as memory flooded and the floorboards of that green, of that old green van, coming back on little girl me.
Oh, oh boy, that's great. Man. Mm.
Go ahead, keep commenting, Dave.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, Crystal, this is one of my favorite poems that you've ever written. It really is. I love those Cheap Trick lyrics that just stuck into this thing. That's really good. My there's parts of this that I just remember my dad used to smoke Camel cigarettes, the straight ones without the filter. You know, that's probably why he died of emphysema, I suppose. But my mother smoked Winston's. And when we'd be on a trip, they'd roll the windows down, and then they'd smoke away up front, and they thought that the cigarette smoke was going outside, but it was just coming in the back end and wound up the back seat. And pretty soon my sister would speak up, and she'd tell my parents to quit smoking. So they would. Anyway, that thing in there about the cigarettes reminded me of that. And then the guitar chanted as memories flooded floorboards of that old green van humming back on little girl me. That's just priceless. That's really good. This is really special. Faded windows tinted with Pennsylvania air, breathing my poppy pigtails as I bounced along with my sister and father singing away. My mother and dad used to sing when we were on trips and stuff, and just mostly clowning around stuff because that's all my dad would allow. He never let my mom get serious. And it must have hurt to say, I can't say enough good about this poem. I just love it. I'm going to put it on my page. If it's okay with you.
Okay.
Well done, Kristen.
What a great comment,
David.
Oh, you're welcome.
Wayne, what do you think of Crystal's poem?
Well, I think it's a wonderful family trip she went on. I want to see her poppy pigtails. I bet they were hot. I love the bitch of the lyrics. I make a rock and roll family. And I bet y'all had a lot of fun. I wish I could have been there. Kentucky and Pennsylvania have a lot of the same terrain, so I know it's like riding around the hills over there and going up down the hills and enjoying yourself, so I bet it was fun. Good job with it, Crystal.
You want to know something interesting, though, Wayne, is that old green van actually went through Kentucky. I even think of where you live. I remember you talking about before something about being near like the bluegrass of we drove through there many times and stuff like that. So that van actually went through there. There's a picture of me and my sister standing in the bluegrass area. I think I was about 6 at the time or something like that, but I remember going there and stuff. So it's interesting that you bring that up.
There's a lot of hills in Kentucky and Pennsylvania, a lot of hills.
There are, yeah.
Great comment, Wayne. And Crystal, I'm getting a kick out of the fact that as I make mine, you'll notice that all three of us homed in on your little pigtails. How sweet. But I wrote loving the nod to the song Surrender. And thanks, Crystal. Now you have it playing in my head. But I liked your
yeah.
description of the image of you bobbing and singing and your little pigtails just sounds so cute. It was a fun and, and a nostalgic piece. And like I said, I just think you never know what memories will stick to you forever. It's not some big expensive thing that somebody bought for you. It's usually some tender moment or the things going on in a road trip or a song that takes you on that road trip. So again, I say, what a great topic you chose tonight. Awesome poem. And I see you won an HM for it, too, so congrats on that. But I just wanted to say real quick, too, on Monday's show, I'm finally to the end of the series that I started in January, where every week we used the quotes of our peers to inspire us. And I just wanted to say that even if you don't think you'll be able to write for Monday, if you take a look at the 16 quote choices and number it 1 to 16 and take guesses as to who you think wrote those quotes, it's the board members, me, AP, Sweet Pea, and Hatter. Whoever guesses the most correct answers wins 10,000 points. And you don't have to write for the show to participate in that part of it. It's just a way to take the series out with a bang. So, again, if you can't write, just go look at the list and make some guesses. You might be 10,000 points richer. Fun topic, Crystal.
I think I did notice that about Monday's show, and I was noticing about that, and I was thinking about that. I said, before you even said anything, I was like, I wonder who wrote what. And I actually did look at it earlier. I don't know if I quite made any guesses yet. I mean, it kind of makes me think of when we play that tic-tac-toe. Like, you got to figure out who it is. Or when I used to do the show, Guess That Poet. And then you think of that, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, Crystal, even if you can't
you
write for the show, do 1 to 16 and inbox them to me, and maybe you'll win some points.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, like I said, I got every poem read. Like I said before, thank you for everybody that called and hung out and everything. I liked how many, like, nostalgic writes. I figured they were going to be nostalgic for many people, many memories, and I love hearing people's stories of their childhood or just stories they have in general from their lives, because it's like, it's always interesting to hear and everything. So I'm going to say that's all for tonight. So good night, Deb, and good night, Dave, and good night, everybody else that's listening.
Good night, Chrissy. I had a good time.
Love and respect.
I'm glad.